Welcome to The Friendly Unknown. I'm your host, Allison Felice. Join me as I talk to creative professionals from around the globe about their paths to becoming who they are today in order to help demystify the creative journey. In this episode, I'm talking about money with Helsinki-based illustrator and designer Lena Kiisinen. Lena is a great person to explore this topic with because she has been teaching workshops on money in person. She's also generously created numerous videos on how to price your work, how to create a business plan, how to license your work, and more on her Instagram page at Lena Kiisinen. She's also just started her own YouTube channel where she talks all about the business of being an illustrator. She has a wealth of knowledge, and I really encourage you to check her out. And if you feel you have a negative relationship with money, which to be honest, many of us do, then stay tuned after the conversation with Lena, and I'll be going over some activities you can do to help identify and begin to reframe your relationship with money so that you can make more of it and continue to put your art out into the world. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Lena. Hey, Lena, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Allison, for having me here. And I'm very excited that you have started your own podcast.
Thank you. No, I'm super excited to talk to you because I've been a fan of your work from the time before I was an illustrator. Actually, I think I remember pinning your Fika packaging on my Pinterest like many moons ago when I was a designer. And yeah, so it's kind of interesting to be talking to you today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that must have been quite a while ago, actually.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago, but I still love it.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I'm also a big fan of your work. So I'm also quite excited that I get to talk to you as well.
Thank you. It's funny that we're recording our first conversation.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about yourself and what you're up to right now?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Lena Kiisinen, and I'm a Finn, and I live in Helsinki in Finland, and I guess I would call myself an illustrator or a graphic artist, and I work mostly with lifestyle illustration, I would say. I mostly create illustrations for packaging and products and textiles and different sorts of like printed and digital media as well. And I've been doing illustration full-time for more or less 4 years. It's going to be 4 years in the beginning of June this year. And before that, I used to do illustration kind of like part-time on the side of my day job. And then in 2016, I finally decided to take the leap and go full-time. And I must say that I haven't really looked back since.
That's wonderful. I took the leap in 2016 as well.
Oh, okay. So it's more or less the same time.
I think it was also June. So, yeah. Interesting. What was your day job when you were doing illustration on the side?
Well, I had several day jobs before this. I used to work for like different sorts of companies for almost 10 years before I got into freelancing. Yeah, I did a bit of everything. I first started in a publishing house. Designing books. I have a background in graphic design and I'm trained as a graphic designer. So that's why I first was working as a graphic designer and just sort of like doing illustration on the side. And then I went on to work in an engineering company that had their own like a design studio kind of like inside the company. So I was working there as a graphic designer, and they also sometimes gave me like these little illustration jobs. So I kind of like kept doing that there as well. And then after that, I moved into advertising and corporate comms. And the last daytime job I had before moving into freelancing was as an art director in a local corporate comms agency here in Helsinki.
So when you were working at these day jobs, were you always able to illustrate a little bit as part of your role?
Yeah, a little bit. It kind of depended on the job. I think most illustrations that I got to create were in the latest job that I had in the agency. And yeah, but it was still quite different than what I do nowadays because it forces for like these, you know, big listed companies, and it was all about this like creating like annual reports and websites and that sort of stuff. So the environment was quite different than where I'm working in right now.
Yeah. And were you always freelancing on the side?
Well, I kind of started that very slowly. I maybe did my first freelance gig in maybe 2008 or something like that. And then in the beginning, it was first like, I don't know, one or two gigs in a year. And then it kind of like very, very, very slowly started to kind of grow from there.
Yeah.
And then finally, during the last years, when I was still working full time, the people in the company, they were really kind and they let me do like a 4-day week. So I would like work for 4 days in the company and then first work like 1 day just for myself, like each Friday. So I kind of like shifted very slowly into this freelancing thing, just starting very, very with these like little steps first.
I think that's so smart. I was going to ask when you took the leap, if you had saved up money and quit your job and just went for it, or if you slowly transitioned and built your clientele on the side and couldn't do both jobs. Or...
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I just went very slowly, and that's what I would really recommend for everyone who doesn't have like a background in freelancing. Because I think that it's quite essential to have some money saved up just in case something happens. Like, for example, now we are recording this in the middle of the corona crisis.
Yeah.
So I think in this situation, it's good to have some savings.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
And I was the same in that I had savings, but I actually quit my job without having any clients.
Right. Wow.
It got to a point where I probably should have quit like 2 years before, just not anything to do with the company, but just to...
Sure.
I just really wanted to pursue illustration, and I was sort of like hiding that from myself. And then it got to a point where I was just, I have to do it. And I just went all in and pretty much quit cold turkey.
Wow, that's very brave.
Yeah. And so I wouldn't necessarily recommend that to anyone. Design and illustration are like really two different worlds. So I had to like find my footing and start over. But luckily I had about a year's worth of savings to give me some runway.
That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of feel more safe.
Yeah.
Like no matter what happens, then you know that you have your own backup funds and, you know that the money is there. So that gives you this kind of like sense of, you know, being safe.
Yeah. And I was just talking to my husband earlier this morning about the topic of money, which we're covering. And we were just discussing how important exploration is to finding your style and your message. And when you're stressed about money and stressed about when are the projects coming in so I can make money, it's really hard to explore who you are as an artist.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. And so I think in the beginning, that's really essential to like have a bit of leeway just for exploration and to like try things out and to not be so worried about money that you're just taking on jobs and not really able to figure out who you are and what your voice is.
Yeah. Because if you don't really have any savings and you just have to take in all the jobs that come in, so that might not be a very good place to be in either. So I think it's really just quite essential to have at least a few months' salary saved up before you start, so you can kind of like put yourself into a place where you don't have to worry so much.
Yeah.
If you just have the chance, of course. Not everybody has the chance, but yeah. But if you are in a place where you are kind of like you have a day job and you are planning to go into freelancing, it's a good idea to try to stay there for a few more months and then just try to save up everything that you can. So then it's easier to take the leap.
Yeah. And I think saving up as much as you can, and really just, I really like what you did, which was you worked 4 days and then you had Friday off to work on your freelance work, I presume, or personal projects.
Yeah. Yeah. I had some client jobs back then as well, but they were like smaller projects. And I used to work like in the evenings and weekends and during my holidays as well.
Yeah.
So it started to be quite overwhelming. Especially during the last years when I was still working full time. So then I just started to feel that I really just, I have to choose what I want to do. And I just felt that if I don't try this now, then I'm going to regret later on if I didn't try it. So
yeah.
So that's why I kind of just decided to do this.
Well, you were definitely meant to do this because your work is just so joyful and beautiful. And when I see that style, I know it's you. Like, you have a distinctive style.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice to hear. Thank you. I think it's just, yeah, it took me a long time to make the decision that I'm actually going to take this route, because I was really unsure about, like, you know, making money and how I'm going to make ends meet and all that. So I was really worried in the beginning, but
yeah,
I allowed myself to go very slowly. And I thought that that's one of the reasons why things have worked out pretty well for me.
Yeah. And it's also nice to just sort of test it out and see if you like this career.
Yeah.
So if you're like freelancing on the side, you just sort of dip your toe and see if that's actually a path you want to take.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not for everyone, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely okay just to, you know, to try first and see how it works. And I have had some friends who have tried it too, and then they just realized that they don't really like working alone. They want to work in a company with other people. So mm-hmm. then they just decided to go back, and that's completely fine. And then after taking that, like doing the tryout, then they know what works for them. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point. Like, some people really thrive in an environment where they're working with other people. Mm-hmm. And then some people can work really well alone. And another thing is, I think some people really enjoy illustration or painting or whatever form your creativity takes, but they might not necessarily want to do it as a career. Maybe they think they do at first, but then they realize they just enjoy making as like a hobby.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think like exploring that and just seeing if this is a route you want to take as your career versus just something you do as expression.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a great option to do art as a hobby as well, because then you don't really have to stress about it. You can just, you know, draw the same picture every day if you want to. Then you don't have to kind of like think about all the rest of the things that come with like having a career in illustration, for example, or any other form of art that you might want to be doing. But so I think that's totally fine as well. And I think it's a really fun option to just, you know, have art as a hobby and just have another job where your money comes in from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you've actually put together some workshops in Finland for women illustrators, is that correct?
For illustrators in general, only female illustrators, even though actually most of the people who attend my courses, they are female.
Okay, I think that's so, where I got that idea.
Yeah,
And then you've also put together some videos on your Instagram. So everyone go check out Lena's Instagram. She has a great series of videos on pricing and copyright and business plans. Where did you learn about money? Like, how are you so comfortable with it? Because I know it's such a loaded topic for many people.
Well, I guess it comes from my background, first working in these different sorts of companies first before I went freelance, especially in the engineering company where I worked. My role was kind of like, I was a graphic designer and also a project manager at the side. And that's how everyone worked there in that company, that everybody would be project managing their own projects. And we were asked to kind of look for new clients and contact them and sell new projects for them and then start the project with them and kind of like take them through the process and then finally finalize the project and then try to sell something more in the end. So that's the training that I kind of had when I was working for other people and in different companies. So that kind of just kind of made me quite comfortable with the fact that money and pricing, it's just, you know, just one part of this job. And you can't really do this without taking those things into account. And yeah, so that's how I kind of like got started. kind of like working with these subjects. And I didn't really think that it would be anything special back then when I was working in those companies, because it was just, you know, it was just a regular part of the process that you do there on a daily basis, basically. So I kind of like realized only after once when I went freelance that I actually know quite a lot about pricing and selling and money as well. So then I kind of like, when I started to talk more with my colleagues and other illustrators, I kind of realized that many other people have been freelancers their whole lives, and they have never had the experience of working for other people. So that kind of made me realize that I could actually just start talking about this subject, because I thought that other people would know many of the same things that I would know myself. But then I realized that they actually don't. So that's where the idea for these workshops and like talking about these issues kind of came from.
Yeah. No, it's funny how when you know something, you just sort of assume everybody else knows as well. But sometimes it's like your superpower or this yeah, angle true. To what you do that makes you unique. I really struggled with money and pricing in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for me to find the resources to figure out how much to charge for my work, how much to expect, and even just the confidence to ask for what I felt like I should be charging. And I definitely undercharged in the beginning. Mm. And then was kind of upset that I wasn't making more money. And so I had to really work through this whole money issue. And I'm still working through it now that I'm a new mom. I'm not doing commissioned work right now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not making any money at the moment, which is hard for me. My definition of success is making money. So I'm sort of
well,
like reevaluating.
It is still quite essential. You can't really say that.
Yeah. But I'm luckily in a place where it's okay for me to not be making money at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm momming 90% of the time.
Yeah, and it's a unique time in your life as well. So I think you should really enjoy that.
Yeah, so I'm trying to enjoy it, but at the same time, it's like in the back of my head. Yeah. Like, I want to contribute. But yeah, I'm really excited for you to be discussing this today, because I think it's a topic most of us struggle with. Mm. And if you don't, that's amazing.
Well, I do struggle with it myself as well. But I do think that it's, for me, it was quite essential to realize that it really just is one part of the job. It's not something that's isolated from everything else.
Yeah.
And if you want to be a professional in any field, basically, then you just have to take it into consideration. And yeah, and I think one of the reasons why so many people in the creative field are kind of struggling with money issues is that it's not really taught at school.
Yeah,
which
is shocking.
It is, yeah, because it's still such an essential thing.
Yeah,
and I've studied graphic design in 4 different schools in 3 different countries.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and none of those places gave any education or information on how to price your work. So that's quite something, I have to say.
I had the same experience. I studied design here in San Francisco, and I studied industrial design in the UK, and neither schools talked about money, how much you should price your work, or how to do taxes, or any of that.
Yeah, and still quite many creatives end up being freelancers, so it would be kind of like, it would make sense to include those things into basic education as well.
Yeah. Are there any resources that you would share with our listeners that have helped you?
Well, I think the Graphic Artists Guild, they publish this handbook. I think is it maybe every 4 years they update it, which is this like a really kind of like a really good guidebook on like how to price your work and how to create different kinds of contracts for your work. I think it includes information for illustrators and graphic designers and maybe animators, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, actually, I bought that book on your recommendation.
Oh, really?
I think
that's great.
Months ago, you posted it on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good source.
Yeah,
it's from the U.S., so of course, all the legal stuff and all that's included in it. It's based on the U.S. law, so it doesn't really apply for all countries, but the principles that they are kind of walking you through in the book, they still apply kind of internationally, I think.
And yeah, that was really helpful just to know sort of the baseline fees to charge. Like for illustration, it's like, is this a magazine cover? And they actually had examples of the magazines. Mm-hmm. So like these magazines, you can charge this much. These magazines, whether they're like worldwide or just nationwide. And I think it's a great point to reference. So if you do get a commission, you can sort of check it against that and see if they're under budgeting. And you can ask for more money. And it's also great if, you know, you get those emails from clients and they're like, how much would you charge for this?
Yeah.
And so you actually have to come up with something.
It's
a great reference for that. And actually, I just want to dig into that a little bit. So say you get an email from a client and they give you a description of the project and they ask you to come up with a fee.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go back to them and say, what is the budget you have in mind? Like, what is your budget? Or do you send them a fee?
Usually I start by asking if they have a budget in mind.
Yeah.
It's quite rare that people would actually answer with the budget.
I
think that's
that
just
well.
Yeah. So, but sometimes they do, and it doesn't really hurt to ask.
Right.
And but yeah, if they want me to calculate a fee, then I usually just start by thinking that what is the client like? Is it like just a small local business with like just a few people working there, or is it like a big multinational company that would have the ability to spread the world, work around the world? So I would first start from that, but like, is it a small business or a big business? And then I would start to kind of like think that, what is the work for? Like, where does the illustration go? Does it go into like, you know, just one product that's going to be printed in one country, like 100 copies or something like that? Or is it for like big, like let's say advertising campaign or something like that, that would spread around the world or something like that? So I think that it's quite essential to start from there, that who is the work for and how large is that client? And then how is the work going to be used? Like geographically, where is it going to be used in the world? Is it just one city or a continent or something that's going to spread worldwide? And then also, how long is the artwork going to be in use? Is it just like just a few months, or is it something that's going to be used for several years or even longer? So I think it's quite essential just to start from there, from the basics, like how is the artwork going to be used? And then the bigger or the more widely the artwork is going to spread, or the bigger the client, or the longer the time of use is, then the larger those things get, then the bigger amount of money you should be charging as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically how it works. Because if you create an illustration for a small company, you're going to charge less than in comparison if you would create the same illustration for a bigger company that would have the ability to kind of use the illustration in a much more bigger way.
Yeah, and that makes so much sense, but it also makes the pricing so tricky for illustrators.
It does, yeah. And and I think that's one of the reasons why it's kind of impossible to say how much one certain illustration would cost, because it really depends how it's going to be used. That's what the price is depending on.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that the handbook that we're just talking about, it has a lot of information on this as well, like how to approach your work kind of like through licensing, and just thinking that how widely your work is going to be used. So that's a good source for that as well.
Right, right. And I'll link to that book in the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's the graphic artist. What's the title again?
It's such a long name. I keep forgetting it as well. It's the Graphic Artist's Guild Handbook for Pricing and something. It's such a long name.
It's a mouthful.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Were there any other resources? I mean, I would use your videos as a resource.
Because you do
a breakdown of a hypothetical project,
mm-hmm.
which is super helpful to see you apply it to an example.
Yeah. I'm actually also building a YouTube channel right now. I've been filming.
I was going to ask if you were going to do something like that, because I think you should definitely have a online course or YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'm planning to do that. And I have filmed some of the first videos now. And I'm just going to be talking about pricing and how to kind of like run a freelance business in illustration. Because people are sending me quite a lot of questions these days, and it's usually always the same questions. So I just kind of like thought that it's maybe easier if I just create the source online and kind of like go over these questions that I'm being asked constantly. So I think that would make sense. And I think that it would be something that's helpful for kind of anyone who's trying to get into this industry, because there's a lot of like secrecy and hiding when it comes to pricing and making
really
money in this industry. So I think it's about time to get more transparent about that.
Yeah, and I think if we all started charging an amount that matched the work we were doing, it'd raise all of us up.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Expectations would change.
Yeah, and I think everyone benefits from these things being discussed openly.
Yeah, and it's not fun to have to dig around for this information. And I just remember being so nervous when I would first send like how much I would charge for a project, and I undervalued it just because I was afraid that they would say, we can't pay you that, sorry, bye. But that's actually never happened to me. So I don't know, have you ever had any negative feedback from clients when sending in a bid?
Several times. Sometimes clients disappear, or they never answer you, or stuff like that. But it's not necessarily about the price.
And it's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like for them to just, if it was going to not work out, for them to just sort of like go away in the beginning.
Yeah.
Not while you're like producing the work.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't really think that I would get each client that comes in. I would rather just, try to choose the clients that work best for me and who I feel that I really want to work with. And I have quite a lot of people contacting me, but it basically already from the way how they contact me, I can kind of like tell if they are for real or not.
Yeah. Start to develop that intuition.
Yeah, exactly. So I think these days I'm already quite good at kind of like intuitively to figure out who's a good client and who's not. So just based on how they approach me. So I'm not like that afraid anymore to kind of like to say no to clients as well.
Right, right. And I would say that I've actually I've sent over my fees, and people have said they can't pay that. So, and I don't even think that's like a negative thing. I've just never had someone say like, I can't believe you would charge that much. Like, I've never had that sort of feedback. I've always had supportive feedback. Like, you're definitely worth that much, but we can't afford that much right now. But I hope we can work together again in the future.
Yeah.
Or they just sort of disappear. But maybe, like I said, that's a good thing because they weren't serious about the project and it was better to know up front.
Yeah, exactly. And quite often people are just, they might be just asking around, even though the project might not be even confirmed or anything like that. So
yeah.
So I don't think it's necessary to worry about it too much.
Yeah.
And whatever decision they make, it's not usually in my hands how they kind of like they make their choices.
That's right.
And the fee, it's just one part of it as well. So it's not usually the only reason why somebody would say no.
Right. And I think it's nice to ask for what you feel is right, so that when you're working on the project,
yeah,
it's out of your mind. You know that part's taken care of.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you can enjoy the work and not just be sort of like upset the whole time you're making the work that you're being paid so little for it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a terrible feeling to have. To have to be working on something and then at the same time feeling that you're not getting paid enough. So that's not a great feeling to have.
And then you have to take on more work to make the amount of money you need to pay your rent. And then you're working crazy hours and maybe not really enjoying what you're making because you have so little time to work on it.
Exactly. And that's the way.
It's a spiral.
Yeah. It's a spiral. And that's a great way to get burnt out, really.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm guilty of that. That's happened to me.
Yeah. I've done it too. But I think these days I'm kind of like trying to teach myself to kind of not go there anymore because it's not helping. it's not helping me, and it's not really helping the clients either. So I'm just trying to do things differently these days.
And you've had some pretty amazing clients. Like how do you, like you've worked with Google and Snapchat and Papyrus, and how do you get clients like this? Do you reach out to them or have they found you, or is it a mix?
Usually they come to me. Most of my clients come through my online portfolios and through Instagram as well. I'm using a few services online. Behance, first of all, and Dribbble too. Most of my clients actually come from those services. And I have my own website as well. And Instagram, like I said, that's a pretty good place for clients to find illustrators as well. So I've had quite a lot of projects come through there as well. And the thing that kind of connects all these different kinds of like big clients, or what you would you call them, is that they're always looking for something new and unique. And I think my style is just something that maybe stands out, and it maybe has some qualities that they had been looking for. So so they usually come to me when they're looking for an illustrator who would have the kind of like colorful, kind of like Scandinavian kind of a style that I have. And that's how I have ended up working with these kind of like bigger companies as well.
Yeah. And your style is very distinct in Scandinavian. It's just really, really beautiful. And I noticed that it seems like you work a lot with clients in Japan, and I was just curious how that connection worked out.
This all Japan work started in 2012. It also started from this Japanese advertising agency seeing my work online. Back then, I don't think I even had my own website or anything like that. I was using this like online portfolio service that's called Coroflot. I don't know if it even exists anymore, but yeah, back then I was using that. And they somehow discovered my work there, and then they contacted me and asked me if I wanted to create illustrations for these cookie packages that would be sold at this department store in Tokyo. So that's how the whole thing got started.
Or is that the Fika?
Oh, yeah, that's the Fika thing. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's the one I saw. That's the one, ages ago. I love it. It's just something about it. It's just it's nostalgic and beautiful. And
yeah, it's like where those cookies are being sold is at the Isetan department store in Tokyo. And they have this food section on one of their floors. And that section is full of these like little pop-up shops. And the place where these cookies are sold is the Fika shop in that specific department store. And their concept is that they sell like Scandinavian pastries packaged into Scandinavian patterns and illustrations. Mm. So that's why they were originally looking for Scandinavian illustrators to execute the patterns.
Were you able to go see those in person?
Oh yeah, I've been there a few times myself, and I've always been sent those cookies whenever there is a new package that I've illustrated. Mm-hmm. So they keep sending me the packages from Japan, so I get to taste the cookies as well.
That's so sweet. I just love that not only are you doing commission illustration work, but you've also put together workshops where you decorated balloons, mm-hmm. and you've also decorated store windows. And it just seems like creativity really flows out of you, and you're able to work in these different mediums, and there's still a thread that connects everything, or it looks like you. And I think that's just so neat. And how are you comfortable with doing all of these different things, like doing a workshop for other people? Like how did you get into that?
I don't actually even remember how I got into that. I think somebody just asked me or something like that. But yeah, I think it's just, yeah, I think because I've had so many different kinds of jobs in the past, so I feel that I'm quite comfortable to try things out and to try something new. I think it's always kind of fun to do something that's totally different that you've done before. And yeah, I think it's fun to try. And I don't think things would need to go perfectly the first time when you try something new. You can just kind of like allow yourself to try something and then see what happens. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, but that's not the point. I think it's just kind of fun to allow yourself to try out different kinds of things.
Yeah. And I think it like helps you grow as a person too.
I think so. And otherwise, if I would be just, you know, be sitting at my desk and just, you know, just illustrating at my computer every day, that gets kind of boring as well after a while. So that's why I also kind of like crave to do something slightly different every now and then as well. Because I think it's a good way to kind of like, you know, mix things up and just try something different for a change.
Yeah. And do you feel like there's like a message in your work, and like maybe that's how everything sort of looks like you?
Well, I don't know if there's a message in the work itself, but I guess that for me, being able to kind of work in this industry and to do what I do, I think that's the message, basically, that I think everyone has the creativity in them to kind of pursue their own career and to kind of like find their own way of creating. Because I think that a lot of people are not necessarily, how would I say, they're not comfortable with creativity and kind of like creating stuff on your own.
It seems like when we're kids, we're all comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And we're not just like, we're coloring and we're like just seeing the world in a very creative way. And then it's sort of like, I feel like, at least in the US, once you're in school, like, oh, this group of kids are good at math. Mm-hmm. And this group of kids are the creative ones. And this group of kids are the athletes. And we sort of compartmentalize. And then you're told you're good at this thing, and then you sort of like let the other stuff fall away.
Yeah, that's really true. And I think it's the same here in Finland as well, that already at a pretty early age, you're being told like, what's your thing? And I think it's more like a lifelong journey to find out what's your thing.
Yes.
So it's, you don't necessarily have to put yourself into that kind of one box at such an early age.
Yeah, it does seem like when you're an adult, you sort of have to like do a lot of reconnecting with the child in you.
Yeah.
Like figuring out, oh, what were the things I really loved as a kid?
Yeah.
And why did I stop doing that?
Yeah. I think that's a good exercise to do, actually, just to kind of like try to remember what you like doing as a kid. That can often be a good kind of like a clue to figure out what you could actually do as a grown-up as well.
Yeah, it's been really helpful for me because my mom has kept like all of my childhood projects.
Oh, wow.
Just like macaroni necklaces and books. And I was always drawing these books and just drawing a lot. And when I wanted to switch from being a graphic designer to an illustrator. She like presented me with some cards I had drawn as a kid, and I did this like t-shirt contest. Aww. And it was almost, it was for Valentine's Day, and it was almost like a little comic strip with these hearts and all of these different drawn in all these different ways. And it was just so innocent. And like, oh yeah, I love illustrating. I've always loved that, but I forgot.
Yeah. And that's so sweet.
Part of, yeah. And I'm just, I used, usually tell my mom to like throw all that stuff out, but I was just really like happy that she had kept that.
Yeah.
At that point.
Must have been really fun to see all those things and kind of remember who you were as a kid, because I think that's something most of us actually forget when we grow up.
Yeah, we have to like put on all of these layers to fit into society. And then if you're really lucky, I think you're able to start like removing those layers and get back to who you are.
Yeah, and that can be actually quite hard work if you, especially.
Yeah, it's really hard work.
Yeah, it is. Especially
a lot of therapy.
Yeah, because it's, if you are in an environment where creativity and kind of art is not seen as something valuable, then it can be a really tough job to kind of like start going back there and like try to find out who you would be and what's your, what your creativity would look like.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where that exploration is so important, and not worrying about the money for a while. Even if it's, even if you have a job on the side that's paying the bills and you're able to just start to follow your joy and just see where it takes you, like whether that's like writing poems or writing songs or illustrating or making tea, tea blends, you know, just start following it and see where it takes you. And
yeah, exactly. Like it doesn't matter what it is, but it just, it's supposed to make you happy.
Yeah.
And since freelancing, it can be kind of a difficult path to take. So you really need to like the thing that you do to be able to kind of like to do this.
Yeah. And to commit to like at least a couple years to make it happen, because it does take a while.
It does take a while. And people also need a while to understand what it is that you do. And I think that's the hard part when you're starting out, because it takes a while before people kind of like catch on and they start to see what is the thing that you're kind of delivering.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea to kind of like allow a few years at least in the beginning before things start rolling, because it usually is quite a slow process.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that especially like younger people might get wrong these days, because especially online and on Instagram, things seem to be happening so quickly. But in reality, things happen very slowly.
Yeah. So. And that's actually like part of the inspiration for this show, because on Instagram, you just see the finished product.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, this person just gets it right every time.
Yeah.
And they have all these amazing clients, but you don't see the behind the scenes, and you don't see what it took for them to get there. And so you might feel shame around your own process or what you're making. And and so this is sort of, these conversations are to help people understand that we all go through the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really glad that you're bringing this up, because I think that's one of the central things to understand if you want to get a career in this field or any creative field, that it actually, things happen very slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's okay. And it just takes time. And I have this like idea where you need to transmit your beacon, which is just putting your work out there, and you're sort of like sending these beacons out into like the world wide web and out into the world. And it just takes a while for people to find them.
Yeah.
And even once you start getting jobs, they come in slowly at first.
Yeah.
And then those jobs send out more beacons. And eventually people start coming across them, and like you may have sent one out 2 years ago, and then like someone finally sees it, and it's like a random way they've found you, but they found you. And so it just takes a while to get yourself out into the world. And and it'll happen if you stick with it.
Yeah. And it just kind of like Yeah, it takes a while, and there's nothing wrong with that. Whenever I'm giving some of my classes or if I'm teaching at the local uni, I think quite many of the younger students who are like in their early 20s or something like that, they are kind of like really worried that they haven't done anything yet, and they are worried that that it will take too long for them to kind of like create their own style and all that. So I'm just always trying to explain that it's kind of like a path that you're walking, and then creating your own style and finding out what's your own way of creating, they're kind of like just side products of walking that path.
Yes, that's exactly it. It is a path.
Yeah.
It's like the hero's journey. It's like we all go through this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And along this path, we encounter all these themes.
Yeah.
We all encounter. So money is a big one. I think money is one that sort of follows you for a while that you keep re-encountering. Yeah. And it's almost like a way for you to like grow through.
Yeah. It's like, and it's something that you can't really escape either. So
yeah, and you can't. And then once you get comfortable with it, it just becomes something that supports you. And I think it's like important to reframe if you have a negative relationship with money, where you think like money is evil, or money, like if you make money with your art isn't authentic, or if you feel like you need to be a starving artist to be authentic, right? Like all these negative ideas around money, like it's important to start reframing that. And maybe an exercise you can do is just think about how money can give you the future you want. So like, you know, if you want a cozy home with your family and you want a cat, and you want to be able to take vacations, just imagining what you want your life to be like in the next 2 to 5 years, and imagine that you have to have money to do those things, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's and it's money is fuel, basically. It's just something that helps you to do the things that you want to do in your life. And
right,
yeah, it's just
money.
Yeah, go ahead.
Money can be good or bad.
It can.
It's just like what you apply to.
Yeah, and there's like, not everybody's going to be earning the same money, and different amounts of money are enough for different kinds of people. So there's no like one certain amount of money everybody should be earning. People have different kinds of lifestyles and they want to accomplish different kinds of things, and the cost of living is quite different in many countries. So there's no one kind of like a yearly salary that everybody should be aiming for. It really is a different number for different people. And to figure out what would be the number you should be aiming for, I think the first step is to figure out how much money are you spending. Like what's the cost of you running your own business and being a freelancer? Because then otherwise, if you don't know how much you're spending in a month or in a year, then it's pretty difficult to figure out how much you should be charging.
Yes. It seems so intuitive to do it in that way, but I don't think it is. Like,
yeah.
It's so simple, but it's something we don't really think about.
Yeah. And I think one way to get a better understanding of what you're trying to do as a freelancer, I think one of the best ways to kind of get into that is to create a business plan for yourself, because it kind of allows you to look at your work from several perspectives. And also the process of creating a business plan is something where you are being asked quite a lot of questions that you have to be able to answer. So just going through the process of kind of like answering those questions is quite essential if you want to be running your own business or working as a freelancer, because there's quite a lot of things that you have to be taking into account if you want to be kind of working as a creative and getting paid for it.
Yeah, and I think just getting that clarity too, like thinking through those things and getting clarity and having some sort of structures.
Exactly.
A lot of people are resistant to it, but it's so helpful.
It is very helpful.
It's so helpful, yeah.
It is. And that's also something I did when I was still working for somebody else, but then I decided that if I'm going to go freelance, so then I'm going to do it properly. And then I went on to do this, like, I took this online course on how to build a business plan and how to start your own company. So I just educated myself on that field, because before that I had never done it myself. So I needed somebody to help me to get it done.
And now you've created a series of videos on your Instagram covering this,
right? Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So everybody go watch those. You're so generous, and it's just such an amazing resource. So if you have any questions around pricing or your business plan or copyright and usage fees, definitely go check out Lena's Instagram and YouTube soon.
Yeah, I already have the channel. I can send you the link so you can put it in the show notes. I'm planning to publish the first video in May. And and depending how quickly I can get it done, then I'm hoping to release a few videos a month. And and the topics are going to be more or less about illustration and money and how to run your business as a freelance illustrator and all that, but probably some other topics as well, because like I said earlier, money and pricing, they're just one part of this job and not something that's separate from everything else. So
yeah,
quite surely we'll be covering other topics as well.
That's so exciting. I wish those resources were available when I was starting, but I'm so glad that you're doing it now.
Yeah,
it's gonna help a lot of people.
I hope so. I'm sort of like scratching my own itch, because I always felt that I didn't really have anyone helping me in this field when I was first starting out when I was a student. So I'm kind of like creating this for the younger version of myself as well.
Yeah. That's what this podcast is for me. It's like hearing the stories that I didn't have access to when I was starting out.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy this podcast and hearing a lot of different kinds of stories from different creatives.
Thank you. Thanks. I hope so. I have some rapid fire questions for you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. So the first one is, what advice would you give your past self when you were just beginning your journey?
Well, I think when I was younger, I was kind of like really worrying a lot. What would be the right thing for me to do, and kind of like I was just kind of stuck in a lot of ways. So I would kind of like probably tell the younger version of myself to be more kind of relaxed in that sense, and just allow myself to try out lots of different kinds of things. So I felt that I was just really stuck for several years when I was younger, so I think that would be my advice.
Yeah, that's great advice. And is there a book or a podcast or some other resource you would recommend to listeners?
Well, one really good source about pricing, but also about marketing and how to create a viable business as a freelancer, is this book by Seth Godin called This Is Marketing.
I love Seth Godin.
Yeah, me too. He's one of my favorite writers and thinkers, and he's very unique, and this is his newest book, and I think it has a lot of really good thoughts about how to work as a freelancer and how to market your work.
Oh, wonderful. That's actually on my wish list, so I need to
get that ordered. It's a great book. I really recommend it.
And he has a great podcast called Akimbo.
Oh, really? I haven't listened to that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like, his mind is just crystal clear. Like, he can just see it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very pleasant to listen to.
Yeah, he is. He is. So would you say that you're introverted or extroverted?
Oh, I'm very introverted.
Same.
I like to spend a lot of time alone, and I kind of get quite tired in social situations. So I think I'm someone who's very strongly introverted, even though I like spending time with people and I love being around people, but then I have a certain kind of limit.
You like recharge alone.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm an introvert.
And then what type of weather describes your personality?
Well, I would say that would be like sunshine, but when it rains at the same time, when the sun is shining.
Yeah, that just happened here. It's like last weekend.
Yeah, it's kind
That
of
was
like
really
a,
beautiful.
yeah, it's a strange weather, but that's how I feel, how I am. I'm kind of like a very easygoing and basically quite a happy person, but I do have my kind of like mood swings as well. So that's maybe who I am.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I'm the same. Like
Yeah.
everyone is like, but you're so happy. But I'm like, actually, I feel like I'm always sort of melancholy,
Yeah.
but with a smiling face.
Yeah, it's the kind of the hidden layer or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you weren't an artist, what would you do for a living?
I think I would be doing something connected with traveling and with different cultures. I really love to travel and I love meeting new people and like learning languages and all that. So I think that would be something that I would do if I would be doing this.
That sounds wonderful. Maybe you can like mix that in at some point.
Yeah, who
Sounds like an
knows?
idea.
That would be
But
really fun.
you do travel for work, I guess. Like you've gone to Japan and Russia, right? Or
Yeah, I do
done. Yeah.
sometimes. Yeah, and that's great, of course. And I wish I could do that even more.
Yeah. Well, this is wonderful. I want to respect your time, so I think we should probably wrap it up. But where can people find more about you?
Well, probably the best place to go currently is my Instagram at Leena Kisonen. And also my website, leenakisonen.com. That's also one place to find out more about my work. And then that YouTube channel, which is coming now in May, I hope that that's also going to be a good source for other fellow freelancers and illustrators to find out more info about freelancing and financing your work and yeah, illustration as a job in general.
Yeah, well, I know it is going to be a great resource.
I hope
Well, thank you so much, Lena. This has been so amazing, and I know it's going to be so helpful for many people, and it's been helpful for me because I'm still working through those money issues. So I really appreciate you coming on, and it was a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really, really exciting to talk with you and yeah, I think we ended up having a really nice chat here, so I hope that other people will enjoy it too.
Hey, thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this amazing and insightful conversation with Lena. If you'd like to learn more about Lena, you can follow her on Instagram at Lena Kisonen or visit her new YouTube channel. All the links to where you can find her are available in the show notes of this episode on thefriendlyunknown.com. As promised, I want to share an exercise you can do to help identify any icky feelings you may have around money and reframe them in a more positive light. In the book, You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, which is a self-help book, but not your average self-help book. It's funny, edgy, it's a quick read, it's an enjoyable read, and filled with tons of useful information, so definitely check it out. In the book, she recommends writing a letter to money to identify your current relationship with it. She believes that the baggage you have around money shapes how much money will flow to you. So if you think money is bad, you might be doing lots of stuff subconsciously to make it hard for you to actually make some, even if you really want some. By writing an honest letter to money, you can begin to identify what that baggage is. So step one of the activity is to grab a pen and paper and write a letter to money. So your letter might go a little something like this. Dear money, I kind of think you're the root of all evil, or at least that's what I heard growing up. Only greedy people have a lot of money. I'd feel bad if I had a lot and other people didn't. I also feel a pit in my stomach when somebody brings up money. I hate talking about it. I hate having to negotiate money when starting a project. If I make money with my art, isn't it inauthentic? I want everything to be paid for and taken care of without ever having to think about it. I want more money, but I also feel like I'll never be able to make more of it. Money stresses me the F out. Sincerely, Allison. Do any of these beliefs sound familiar to you? Step two is unpacking that baggage. Go line by line and ask yourself if this belief is really true. So for my letter, it would go like, "Dear money, I kind of think you're the root of all evil. Well, is that really true? Is money inherently evil? Is it the root of all evil? I guess I don't actually believe that. Money is sort of just money. On its own, it's pretty neutral, just waiting around for a transaction to happen. Some people use it for things that might be deemed as evil, but I don't even really believe in good and evil. So no, money isn't evil. Money is just money and is neutral." Okay, next one. "Only greedy people have a lot of money." Again, probably not actually true. There are plenty of people who have a lot of money, and I wouldn't say they're all greedy. In fact, there are a lot of people who give away their fortunes to charity. Sure, some people might be greedy, but that's not an absolute statement, and there are plenty of people who aren't greedy. Okay, one more example. "I want more money, but I also feel like I'll never be able to make more of it." Well, is this true? Not really, because I did make money the other day. It wasn't $1 million, but it was something. And if I made money in the past, then I'm almost certain I can make more in the future. So maybe it's not the making money part that's the problem. Maybe I just need to strategize more on how to make it. All right, step 3. Once you go through the letter and ask if the statements are true, then you'll want to rewrite them as positive statements. This is also known as affirmations. Honestly, I was super resistant to affirmations until last year, when I decided to take a crack at them because I kept hearing over and over again just how powerful they are. And I'd like to report that they actually were pretty powerful for me. Our inner critic and our limiting beliefs tell us over and over again that we can't do something or we aren't good enough. Affirmations are like the antidote to those inner voices and beliefs that are holding us back. Affirmations help us look at things in a healthy light and help us reframe our beliefs so that we actually start to believe more is possible for us. Okay, so go back through your letter line by line and come up with affirmations for each statement you've deemed untrue. And then write that affirmation over and over again in a journal or on a sticky note and post that sticky note on your bathroom mirror. For me, I try to write a few affirmations in a journal almost every day. I mean, I have a 9-month-old baby, so I often forget. Anyways, for the example, instead of "Dear money, I kind of think you're the root of all evil," I could write, "Money helps me achieve the life I dream of. The more money I have, the more resources I have to put my art into the world and therefore help people." So write that 10 times a day for a week. Another example, "I want more money, but I also feel like I'll never be able to make more of it." Instead, I could write, "Money flows easily and freely to me." Write that 10 times a day for a week. Write it on a sticky note. Stick it around your house. Really try to feel the positive emotions when you write it. Visualize that positive future for yourself. Know that you deserve good things. Know that you aren't bad for making money. You can continue to create and put your art into the world when you have the money piece taken care of. The world needs your art. The world needs you to keep going and keep pursuing that thing that lights you up. The world needs you to be you. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you'll join me again for future episodes. To stay up to date on all things The Friendly Unknown, follow me on Instagram at Allison Felice or visit thefriendlyunknown.com. If you're feeling generous today, it would really help me out if you could subscribe to the podcast and leave me a rating or review. This will help other people discover the show. Thanks so much, and take care, my friends.